It's a treat to be back on a Tuesday night, and thank God I'm like the pastor. I've thoroughly enjoyed the good singing. How many would agree every service we've had wonderful, wonderful singing? Amen. I want y'all to look up here real quick. I've been in some places, and if you know me, I can't sing. And I've been in some places, I'd be the highlight of the song service. And that's not a real good deal, I can tell you that. And I like going to church, don't you?
Amen.
Letting God move in our hearts, it's been a real treat. And man, I have thoroughly enjoyed myself getting to be with you guys and watching the Lord move around the altar. And I don't know about you, don't take that for granted, do you? I know that's precious time that we get to spend with the Lord. Well, I'm going to shift gears tonight. We preached on Calvary Sunday morning, then last night we preached on let go and let God. And I was trying to think, Sunday night I preached on hope, transforming your heartache into hope. And I believe there's a lot of folks need some hope, don't you? And but anyhow, I want to obey the Lord and go to a text that you'll be familiar with. But I hope that the Lord will open your eyes to some truth in this passage that I believe very much applies to the day that you and I live in. Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll give you an update. My little boy was in a concert, and I'll explain that. They sang, and they done some type deal, and they did something, and I got to watch him. And he said, Daddy, he said, it's 1:45, and he said, I know, Daddy, you're going to preach tonight, but he said, I need you to be there at 1:45. That little guy, I'll say this, Brother Carl, the other night we was sitting down here at the cafe, and we was eating a bite, and the storm had blown through Red Oak, and it was coming our way. And my little boy was evidently watching the news, and he saw that a storm was coming. And he called me on my brother's cell phone, and he said, he was broke up. I could tell he was tore up. He said, Daddy, are you okay? And he was crying. I'm telling you the truth. He's crying. And I said, oh, son, I said, listen, I'm doing good. I'm going to get ahead of this storm. And he said, okay. And he broke up one more time. And I said, son, I'm going to be fine. I don't know about you. It kind of done my heart good. He cares. You laugh, but I'm telling you, it means something to me. That little fella. But anyhow, I got to spend a little time with him. And Ashlyn is doing good. And she went down. I'll give you this about my daughter today. She went to the bank and she got her own checking account. And everybody look up here. She had zero money. Zero money. And Robin come in, she helped her get the account. And I said, honey, how'd she get it? She said, well, she had $17 or $17 check. And we put that in the checking account. She said, and I took out of our account and gave her 40. I began to think about this deal. Not only am I going to take care of my account, now I got to take care of her account. I hope you gave real good tonight. That's a joke. But anyhow, how many know when you got a 16-year-old daughter, you got some bills coming? And she'll be 17 this month. This month, be 17. God's blessed me. I got a great family. I get to be around them, and they're precious. And I do this, Brother Carl, and I'll do it tonight. I'll get right into the text. I say this periodically, and sometimes I forget in meetings. do me a favor. Pray for my wife, Robin. Pray for my daughter, Ashlyn. And pray for my son, Aiden. Would you agree that the devil's doing everything in his power to destroy the family unit? And you say, well, Derek, your family is sheltered and guarded. Look up here. Listen, I'm telling you, the attack is not only in homes outside the church. The attack is even inside the house of God. You pray for my family. Pray for me. That God will give me wisdom. And God's been speaking to me on some things, and you help me pray that I could implement those and do some things. I'm dreaming again. God's beginning to deal with me on some doing great things, impacting the kingdom. How many believe the kingdom needs to be impacted? Amen. Amen. It does. Well, 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to read to verse 7. When you get there, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand. And I'm honored, all you preachers, all you home folk and visitors. This is a great looking Tuesday night crowd. I'm honored you came. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. He answered, go ye. One said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. I like that. That just explains it well. They cut down wood. But as one was failing a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Would you do me a favor and say that word, borrowed? And the man of God said, where fell it? He showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. One time, would you look up here? I just got to insert right here. That's a miracle.
Amen.
That is a miracle. Brother John, the iron did swim. Look at verse 7. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it. I want everybody in the sanctuary to look up here. I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to actually give you a question, and it's going to be my sermon. I'm going to preach tonight on this thought. Have you lost something? I want to hit the rewind button. I'm not sure you heard me in the back. Have you lost something? Would anybody agree I'm dealing with a generation of people that don't think they can lose anything? I want you to look up here. You can lose your joy. You can lose your peace. You can lose your vision. You can lose your desire to raise your hands and give God glory and give Him honor. There are several things, Brother Philip, we can lose. And I'm preaching tonight on have you lost something? Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of Almighty God. Thank you for what you did Sunday morning. What you did Sunday night, what you did last night. It is Tuesday night now. We need an unction from the Holy One of Israel. If there's anybody lost, I pray that this would be the night that they'd walk an aisle, kneel at the foot of the cross, and accept you as Lord and Savior. If there's any backslidden, that they would rededicate. If there's any empty, God, that you would fill them to overflowing. That you would do something in this sanctuary that only you can do. God, save the lost. God, move in the hearts and lives of men and women. Bring revival to Cornerstone and the churches that are here, that are represented in this place tonight. Do something on a Tuesday night that only you can do. We'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated. Brother Tommy, it reminds me of the elderly couple. They were sitting in the house and they had went to bed. And the gentleman, the husband, said to his wife, he said, honey, he said, I'm going to go get some ice cream. He said, do you want any ice cream? She said, yeah, I'd like some ice cream. And she said, but honey, I know you, and you better write it down because you're going to forget. He gave her that stare, that glance, that look that a husband can give his wife. And he said, now, honey, I got it. You want ice cream? He said, do you want anything on your ice cream? She said, well, she said, I'd like some strawberries on my ice cream. He said, got it. You want ice cream and you want strawberries. She said, yeah, but you better write it down. You're going to forget. He gave her that stare. I got it. You want ice cream and strawberries. Do you want anything else on your ice cream? She said, well, I want strawberries. She said, I wouldn't mind some Cool Whip. She said, but I'm telling you, honey, you're going to forget. He said, I got it. You want ice cream, strawberries, and Cool Whip. Do you want anything else on your ice cream? Well, being jazz, I wouldn't mind some nuts sprinkled on top of my ice cream. She said, but I'm telling you, honey, you better write it down. You're going to forget. He gave her that blank stare. One more time, Brother Carl. He said, I got it. You want ice cream. You want strawberries and Cool Whip and nuts sprinkled on the top. I got it. I'll be back. He's in the kitchen for 20 minutes. He comes out of the kitchen, back inside the bedroom, and he's got a plate. He's got 2 eggs and 3 pieces of bacon. He lays it down on her side, and he said, there you go, honey. There's your eggs, and there's your bacon. She said, just like I thought, you forgot the toast. Everybody look up here. I believe that couple had lost it. Somebody throw an amen on me right there. Hey, and so I know that's a funny little way to start a message. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha is the president of the Bible college. Now, I don't know about you, Brother Tommy. If I wanted anybody to be the president, I'd have wanted Elisha to be the president of the Bible college. He's got the touch of God. He operates in the power and the presence of God. That Bible college, Brother John, is growing so fast. Look at verse 1. And he said, and now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Brother Carl, that word too straight for us, it means it's too small. It's too small for us. Here's what caught my eye. Brother Johnson Ross, it is apparent, it is obvious to me that they cannot get a contractor. They cannot hire the work done. And they don't have much money, and so they borrowed a tool. This young man goes out there and begins to take that axe, and he lets it loose, and he's chopping down trees, and he's doing the work. And everybody watch this. And he's taking that axe and he's swinging it. And when he does, the axe head falls off the handle and into the Jordan River. If that's Bible, shout amen. Amen. It falls off. Now I need everybody in the sanctuary to look up here. This young man makes a remarkable discovery. You can't chop down wood with wood. I know this is real deep. I just need you to listen to me. You cannot cut down trees with wood. Pastor Carl, no matter how much effort you put into it, no matter how hard you work, would you agree with me? Wood will not cut down wood. You need the axe. You need the axe head. Brother Ron, you need that piece of that tool that cuts through the wood. Now, I don't know if you see it. Some of you are already ahead of me and you've already fast forward and you want me to get there. But this reminds me of modern day church. We have lost something in modern day church. We have lost something in the house of God. Would you agree with me? Ladies and gentlemen, I begin to think about where we are. Do you remember the New Testament church? Brother Carl, Brother Phil, when they prayed, do you remember buildings shook? When they prayed, jail houses rocked. When they came, my God, I'm about to get blessed by my own preacher. When they walked in to town and begin to witness for Christ, they turned the town upside down for Jesus Christ. Would you agree with me? They operated in the power of the living God. They had God on them. They were anointed by the living God. Now, hold up. I'm not done. Do you understand? We are the church crowd. We are a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of God, who's called us out of darkness and brought us into marvelous light. Do you understand, Brother Tommy Jack? Do you understand? We are not the NASCAR crowd. Now, I need you to look up here so I can preach to you. The NASCAR crowd is fueled by something we're not fueled by. We're not fueled by what that football crowd is fueled by. We're not fueled by what the concert crowd is fueled by. Everybody in the building, look up here. We are fueled by the power of the living God. We are fueled by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you agree with that, shout amen. But ladies and gentlemen, we do not exist. Be careful. We do not exist because we have a great preacher, or we've got a great singer, or we got a great program, or we got a great personality. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has lived by the breath of the living God. The church has been the church, not because we could sing, or John, we could preach, or we could testify. The reason the church is the church, is the power of the living God. We are missing something. We have lost something in the church. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. Now, I'm trying to stay calm because it's Tuesday night and I don't want anybody nervous. Brother Bill, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to give us something tonight. We are missing something in church. Brother Mike, we are missing something in church. We have lost something in church. Now, I got great news. I love this church. And I've told you one of the main reasons, one of the great reasons, is you give me the pulpit early. Son, if I don't make you feel good, I don't know what would make you feel good. I mean, you got time to dig into the text. But I'm going to tell you, there are three ways. Let me give them to you correctly. Three ways you can recover what we've lost. Let me say that again. Three ways we can recover what we've lost. Well, Brother Derek, are you going to take us on a path tonight in the old book? Well, we've done it every night. We might as well stay to that. It works. Jot this down. Here's what I want you to jot down. If we're going to recover, Brother Carl, what we've lost, there are three ways we can do that. Number one, we got to recognize the problem. I want to say that one again. We got to recognize the problem.
Brother Bill, the Bible said they get to work. They cut down wood. The word cut means to divide. They are working. Not very long after they're in the process of working. And axes are swinging. And chips are flying. And trees are falling down. Now, I don't want y'all to make fun of me. But I want you to look up here. My hands are made to hold the Bible. Let me explain that to some of y'all. Brother Ron, I'm not a bricklayer. Now, I have done that kind of work or tried to help a little bit. I had a kinfolk that wanted me to help them put in a septic tank and do a little plumbing. Everybody look up here. Call me to hold your revival. Don't write me off, Brother Tommy. I'm not lazy. I don't mind working. I know what everybody thinks about evangelists. We go to bed late. We wake up at noon and we don't ever pray. And we've got 6 sermons. You're wrong. We got 8 good sermons. And they think we're lazy. I'm not a lazy guy. I get up early. I don't stay in bed all day. I try to stay committed and do what I do. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I want you to look up here. I love power tools. Now, I'm not good with power tools. Hey, sometimes I just walk in Lowe's and just go by the power tools so I can feel like a man. And I mean, I just grunt every once in a while when I walk by. I mean, you just feel like a man. I mean, don't ask me to use it, John. I'll mess everything up. But, buddy, I'll walk down the power tool section, and I'll look at it. But don't ask me to work it real good, because I'm not real good at working it. But I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, and you hear me. You say, well, Derek, what are you telling me this for? We got to recognize the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, there is nothing that can take the place of the wind of God in the church of the living God. There is nothing that can take the place of the Holy Ghost. If you agree with that, would you shout amen? Amen. Now, here's what I'm going to say, Brother Carl. When the wind of God blows and the wind of God moves in the local church, it'll knock the roof off of lethargy and apathy. It'll wake up the sleeping saints, and it'll make sinners walk down an aisle and bury their head in an old-fashioned altar. When the wind blows, people for no apparent reason will raise their hand and say, glory to God. I'm telling you, when the wind blows, baby, you want to stand up and say, God is God, and there ain't nobody like God. When the wind blows, it changes the atmosphere when the wind blows. When it blows, Brother Johnson Ross, it blows away self-righteousness. Son, I feel like preaching tonight. It'll blow off self-centeredness, but you got to recognize the problem. Do me a favor. I shouldn't, but I'm going to. I've got a few points that I got to give you. Pull up verse 5, if you don't mind. It says here in verse 5, it said, but as one was failing a beam, I'm in 2 Kings 6, there it is. But as one was failing a beam, leave that up there, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. I'm going to deal with that. Leave that on the screen if you don't mind. Hey, here's what I want you to jot down. I'm saying you got to recognize, Brother Mike, you got to recognize the problem. But look at that first line. But as one was failing a beam. Would you agree with me if you read that, that looks like, and it is, it doesn't just look like it, that means that man's working. Yeah. Brother Carl, that means that man was in a part of the work. Now this is what I want you to jot down. He was busy when he lost the power. I knew I was going to lose my amenders. Ron, it did not say he took a nap. It did not say he was in secret sin. It said, but as one was failing a beam. In other words, he was busy when he lost the power. Ladies and gentlemen, he was dividing a beam and he lost the power. It reminds me, leave that up there. It reminds me of a revival. And boy, there were some folks that was bragging on the revival. One guy got up, tears filled his eye. He said, oh, praise God. He said, we've had a real good revival this week. He said, I quit my smoking. He said, boy, we've had revival. Another guy stood up. He said, boy, bless God, hallelujah. He said, I'm telling you, we had a great revival. He said, I'm ashamed to admit it, but he said, I cuss and I've slipped a little bit. And he said, but this week, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and I quit my cussing. Boy, the other guy stood up and one said he quit smoking. The other guy quit cussing. Then one guy stood up, tear in his eyes. Brother Tommy said, you know what? He said, I've been drinking. He said, but I've had revival. He said, I quit my drinking. He said, boy, we've had a move of God. Now, everybody look up here. There was a little old saint of God, one of the most holy women in the whole church. She read her Bible. She walked with God. She was there. She didn't miss church. And she was sitting there, Sister Sue, and she's trying to think of something that she had done that she could testify about. She couldn't think of anything, so here's what she said. She said, I hadn't done nothing, and I'm going to quit it. Now, you laugh at that, but that makes really good preaching. When all the people in the church that hadn't done nothing would quit it, that's revival. Hey, some of our gifts, and it blows my mind, is doing nothing. And I don't really believe that's really what God intended for us to do. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. And so, listen, I come by to preach to somebody that he was busy when he lost the power. Now, I just want to say this. When we get off the sidelines and we get back in the game and we get back doing the work of God, would you agree with me? God wants us busy in the work of the Lord. Now, I'm going to go ahead and be transparent. We get busy on everything else, but would you agree with the man of God? We need to be busy doing the things that matter. Amen. Now I want you to look. I'm still in verse 5. He was busy when he lost it. Then he said, and he cried. Look at this line. He cried, Brother Bill, Brother Ernie. He cried and said, alas, alas, master. Now, everybody look up here. That word alas means this. Oh, no. Oh, no. I lost it. Not only was he busy when he lost it, he was bothered when he lost it. Son, I'm going to go ahead and tell somebody back there ought to amen it or grinned or grunted, because I'm going to tell you, it ought to bother us when people aren't saved. It ought to bother us when people isn't being born again. It ought to bother us when the kingdom isn't being impacted. It ought to bother us. He said, watch this line, Brother Tommy. Watch this line. Alas, it means, oh, no. Everybody look up here, Brother Philip. Can I go ahead and tell you, if it had been this generation, they wouldn't have said, oh, no. They'd have said, oh, well. You know I'm preaching to the truth. Brother Mike, they wouldn't have said, oh no. They'd have said, oh well, it's no big deal. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I preach every night of my life. I stand behind pulpits every night of my life. And Brother Carl, I could tell your people that every night I preach, it falls like rain and people are saved and wonderful things happen. But if I told your people that, I'd be lying on this stage. It don't always happen that way. Can I go ahead and tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of pressure put on this bald-headed boy. But you look up here. I can't bring revival to your church. I can't change you. But I'm telling you, if you'd pray and you'd call upon the name of the Lord and you'd have a hunger to have the cutting edge and have the power and the presence of God, would anybody agree? It is the presence of God that makes all the difference in church. It makes all the difference. Now listen, listen. I said, God, I want to preach this. Now I'm just telling you. He cried. It means it was borrowed. It means he said he cried out, alas, which means, oh, no. I jotted this down. I hope y'all don't get offended. It's my last night. It really. I mean, you know, anymore you say anything, it offends folks. So, I mean, you say nothing, it bothers them. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, I've had folks get mad at me and walk out and stomp and stomp, and I just think to myself, well, hallelujah. I mean, they just get mad. But I'm telling you, I'm going to preach the Bible and preach it like it is. And listen, here's where we are, Brother Carl. We're having seminars on how to polish the axe head. We're having conferences. Everybody look up here. We don't have the cutting edge and we don't have the part we need, but we got the wood in our hand. And here's what we're preaching. How, Brother Phil, how to improve your swing. I hate to break it to you. It doesn't matter if you know how to swing. And you know how to do it. If you don't have the part that is working, it will not work. I'm not done. Let me throw one more out for free. Do you understand? Hey, we'll preach this kind of stuff. How to beat wood on wood and look good doing it. I don't know about you. I don't want to look good. I want the power. I want the presence. I want the Holy Ghost to move in the house and do what I cannot do. I need Him. If you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Now look at that line. I'm still on verse 5. I'm hanging out here a little bit, but it's early in the night. He was busy when he lost the power. It bothered him when he lost the power. Some of you already know where I'm at. And then look at that line. For it was borrowed. He borrowed the tool. Son, if I wasn't so dignified, I'd stop right there and lap this side of the church and come over here and high five somebody on that side. Well, you can't do that. Well, I might. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, listen, it was borrowed. He was using a tool that was not even his own. And he cries, oh no, it's not mine. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to me. John the Baptist made this statement. Brother Beale, he said this, we have nothing unless we receive it from heaven. Paul told the Corinthian church, everything we got comes from above. It comes from heaven. Now, here's what I want you to jot down on that statement, on that word borrowed. You either stole it or borrowed it. I got to make it make more sense than that. If you're using a tool that's not yours, you either stole it or borrowed it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, you realize I every good evangelist throws in stuff for free, and I might as well take advantage of that.
Yes.
There's only one thing you can steal from God. That's your tithe. You have robbed me in the tithe. And listen, I don't know about you. I got to thinking about the tithe the other day and giving to God. Do you realize, Brother Carl, God can do more with your 90 than you can do with your 100.
And I'm going to go ahead and take that one step further. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you don't give and you don't tithe, do you realize you're a curse? And you are blocking the flow. Ladies and gentlemen, I come by to preach to somebody. I could preach on tithing, but I'm not. But the least we can do if we're saved and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is we ought to give a dime for every dollar. Somebody shout amen. And we ought to give everything we have and give it to the cause of the kingdom. But that's really good, but here's where I'm going. If you're using something and it's not yours, you either borrowed it or stole it. Can I go ahead and tell you, I thought about this today. Brother Carl, if you're a good administrator, that's a borrowed tool. Everybody look up here. If you're good with money, that's a borrowed tool. Reminds me of the guy, Brother John, that goes to his neighbor and he said, I want to borrow your tool. He said, but I'm going to give it back to you. He said, matter of fact, I'll use it and bring it back. The guy said, oh no, don't worry about it. I'll come get it when I need it. I'll come get it. The guy borrows the tool and he uses the tool. And 2 weeks after he used the tool, the man comes over to take back the tool. He knocks on the door, and Brother Tommy, he knocks on the door, and the guy that borrowed the tool, he goes and opens the door, and he sees the fella, and he goes, oh, yeah, I borrowed something from you. He said, I'll be right back. He goes in the garage where he put the tool, but if he's like most men, we get stuff cluttered. Now, don't y'all sit up here, women, and act like we're the only ones that clutter stuff. I got to leave that alone. And he starts looking for the tool. And 30 minutes later, he comes back, Brother Philip. He comes back, Brother Frank. And he says, I'm sorry. He said, I couldn't find it. And the man had a disappointing look on his face. Because, Brother Carl, he gave the man the responsibility to take care of the tool. Can I go ahead and tell you, Brother Mike, God loved me so much, He gave me the power of the Holy Ghost. And He gave it to me. But do you realize with that gifting, and God gave me an ability to stand before people, I'm not saying I'm a good preacher. I'm not saying I know how. But I'm going to tell you, every time I stand in pulpits, Brother Phil, and God uses me, and God blesses me, and God moves on me, I don't leave the crowd and go, boy, look here. No, I realize it's a borrowed tool. God gave me a gift. God gave me an ability. It is His power. It is His presence. But one of these days, I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account for the power He gave me. I am responsible for what He gave. I want to tell you something. That's as good right there. I'm telling you, I ought to stop and preach for 30 more minutes right there. You've got some stuff and God gave you an ability and God gave you a gift and you sit around and you think you're the cat's meow. Look up here, baby. You're not that good. Hey, I hate to break it to you. You couldn't do it. I watched you sing tonight. I love to hear you, but it ain't your voice. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's a borrowed tool. And we better give God glory for that. If you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, it's early in the night and I feel like I've covered point one. We got to recognize the problem. Let's go to point two. Pull up verse six. I do have good news. I feel good about it. I think my last two points are shorter than the first point. Sometimes you just got to give folks hope right in the middle of a sermon. Write this down. If we're going to recover the power, would you agree? We got to recognize the problem. Number two, look at verse 6. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Here's what I want you to jot down. Leave that on the screen, because I'm going to cover that verse. Jot this down. If we're going to recover the power, we got to recognize the problem. Number two, we got to return to the place. No, you didn't hear me. We got to return, Brother Johnson Ross, return to the place. Let me ask you a question, and I won't see your hand. Any of y'all married? If you're married, raise your hand. Oh, son, we got a whole bunch of y'all. Can I go ahead and give you one of the reasons you got married? So your wife and your husband could help you when you lost stuff. Don't y'all sit up here and act like y'all don't know. I'm telling you. Have you ever heard this? My wife, Brother Carl, she says this redundant. I'll say, "I lost my keys. I lost my cell phone." I said, Do you know where I put it? She said, "Where was the last place?" Anybody ever heard that? Where was the last place you had that cell phone? That's good advice. It makes really good preaching. But I want you to listen. The Bible said, look at that line, and I'm going to deal with this returning to the place. Look at that line. Where fell it? Brother Philip, if I was going to dig this out, here's what I'd give you. Look at the sincere question. The sincere question. Where did it fall? And look what he said. Look at that line in verse 6. And he showed him the place. Everybody say place. Place. That word place. What you need to know about place means location. Where was the last location? Now I want you to hear me and I want you to listen to me real good. If you've lost your joy, you need to go back where you lost it. If you've lost your peace, you need to go back where you left it. And you need to go back. I'm going to tell you, I don't remember when you got saved, but I can tell you, brother, when I got saved, sister, when I got saved, you believe what you want to. I could not wait to go to church. I could not wait, Brother Mike, to raise my hands. I couldn't wait to say hallelujah. Hey, I might even interrupt the service and say glory to God just because I wanted to. I mean, I was excited about church. I had a desire. Do you realize I'm preaching to people that there was a day in their life? And some of you are not vocal, and I get that. Brother John, everybody's not that way, and I get it. But I'm going to tell you, every once in a while, for no apparent reason or not, inside of your heart, you are to worship from your heart and give God your glory, give Him glory, and give Him honor. And would you agree with me? If you've lost your desire to worship God, you need to go back to the place and get it back and worship God. God, from a sincere heart and give Him praise. Amen. Now listen, I won't give you a line that I want you to write down. The place of departure is always the place of recovery. I like that. Well, Brother Derek, I was wanting something really deep. Well, you should have called somebody else. Because all I got is biscuits and gravy and pinto beans and cornbread. But I want to tell you something. It'll help you when the journey gets tough. The place of departure is always the place of recovery. Now, I want you to notice this. There was a sincere question. Now, jot this down. There was a serious quest. Where fell it? In other words, Pastor Carl, show me the exact place you lost. Now everybody look at this spit rag. Tonight it's going to be the axe head.
He's really thrown. And it falls off in the... Now, I know you can see it. And that's really not a good example. Because when that axe head fell in the water, everybody get this. It was the Jordan River was the dirtiest river in Israel. Brother John, you couldn't see it. So he asked him, he said, where did it fall? Show me the exact place. Can I tell you, some of us have lost some things and we don't even realize why and how we lost it. Can I give you real quick, I promise you, and I mean it from my heart. I'm going to give you three quick statements, three quick thoughts, and I want you to jot them down. Listen, the murky waters of schedule. Would you agree? We're busy today. Brother Tommy, the murky waters of schedule. Do you realize we got more on our plate than we can get done? I mean, I heard you tonight. You said, man, I've got more. I'm busy. And I'll tell you, I'm not just picking on him. Every one of us in this room are busy. We got this to do, Brother Carl, that to do, that. We got to go over here. We got to go over there. And would you agree with me? If we're not careful, the murky waters of schedule will make us lose the power. Can I go ahead and write this and tell you this? I'm living in a generation that God has been put on the back burner. Can I go ahead and tell you, Sunday night church is not important to nobody no more? Who are we kidding? Can I tell you, we're living in a day Sunday's not important anymore? Brother Ron, we're living in a day that Sunday is not important anymore. I remember when I was growing up, they would ask us, the church, when they could play the ball game. They didn't ask, hey, but now the ball game tells us when they're going to play the ball game. That's where we are. And I look up here. There ain't anybody. I love ball. I enjoy playing ball. I'm built more like a ball than I am. But I'm going to tell you, I enjoy basketball, football, any kind of ball. But you look up here. Can I go ahead and tell you, it's not the main thing. It's not the most important thing. The greatest thing this week is we're having revival. And we need a move of God. And we need the Spirit of God. And we need God to do something in our lives. The murky waters of schedule, jot this down. I won't preach this because I covered it last night. The messy waters of storms. Well, what do you mean, messy waters of storm? Can I tell you, a storm in your life is a bad doctor report? Amen. Can I tell you, a messy water of storm in your life could be a broken relationship? I'm preaching real good right now. I'll give you one more. I told you I'd be brief and I'm going to stick to it. I said this, the murky waters of schedule, the messy waters of storms. Jot this down. This is the last one. The muddy waters of sin. I'm going to preach this one. Unconfessed sin, Pastor. In my life or in anybody's life will rob them of the power of God. Amen. I'll tell you what bothers me. I'm dealing with people today that see nothing wrong, Brother Phil, with anything they do. They can live any way, they can talk any way, they can do anything, and I could get real graphic. And they haven't seen the power of God. And they hadn't seen the presence of God. But I want to tell you, they don't miss it. And why? I heard of a guy the other day. He said, I don't even have a desire to go to church anymore. I don't even have a desire to go to revival anymore. And here's what we found out. He said, a year ago, I accidentally accessed internet pornography on my phone. And he said, here's how much of a bondage the man had. He said this, Brother Carl. He said, if I don't get near my phone or if I don't get near a computer, he said, my hand begins to shake.
And you say, well, Derek Stinnett, do you think anybody in this county or anybody in the church is battling pornography? If you don't think somebody in this room is battling pornography, you hadn't read the latest stats. There are people under the sound of my voice, and I want to tell you, I used to think, Brother Tommy, it was a young man problem or a man problem. Ladies and gentlemen, pornography is affecting male and female. Somebody shout amen right there. I'm telling you, it is a multi-billion dollar industry. And you look up here, it might not be internet pornography, but it whatever sin that is in your life that you've not confessed, would you agree it is a muddy water that is clouded you, that has robbed you of the power and the presence of the living God. If you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
I said three things. I'm on my third one. Number one, you got to recognize the problem. Number two, you got to return to the place. I can't believe how fast I'm preaching. Look at verse 6. Here it is. Here it is. I'm going to preach this now. Number three, if we're going to get the power, number three, we got to reclaim the power. He cut down a stick. Somebody do me a favor and say stick.
Yes.
Do you realize it blows my mind how many times God used a word, used a stick? I mean, Moses raised a stick. Somebody shout amen, he raised the rod. Hey, and then the same Moses. I cannot prove this, Brother Carl. I don't believe you'll be able to disprove it. But maybe, just maybe, God told Moses to throw down the stick. And it turns into a snake. And God, everybody look up here. God told him to pick it up by the tail. If you've got any sense, you won't pick a snake up by the tail. Unless God tells you to pick it up. And I cannot prove this, Brother Tommy. I cannot prove it. But God, he throws down the stick. It turns into a snake. And God said, pick it up. That could have been the place Moses developed his stuttering problem. Yeah, just jot that one down right there and remember that. Hey, I'd have stuttered myself. You sure, Lord? Hey, I don't know about y'all, but I'd have had him to say it two or three times, Mike. Pick it up. Hey, listen, but listen, he cut down a stick. I'm about to get blessed, and I'm going to try my best to stay calm. In the Old Testament, the picture of Jesus Christ, Brother Tommy, he's called the righteous branch. He's called the righteous branch. And when you throw in the righteous branch, y'all ain't hear me? When you throw in the stick in the messy waters, in the muddy waters, y'all ain't hear me? When you throw in the stick, the Bible said, everybody get this, the iron did swim. I got to preach to somebody. It didn't float. It didn't just come up. The Bible said it swam. You believe what you want to, that iron began to swim, baby. You say, well, I don't know how it happened. You can't take the Bible literally, brother. Well, you believe what you want to. If God said it swam, I believe, Bill, it swam. I believe the iron did swim. God did a miracle right there. It didn't have no engine. It didn't have no propeller. It wasn't a boat. It was an axe head. Son, I'm going to tell you, if I wasn't so dignified, I'd get beside myself three or four times. Hey, and I'm telling you, that blesses me. Somebody in this room needs to hear this. If you throw the righteous branch, some of you have everything that could go wrong going wrong. But if you'll get Jesus in the middle of your problem, if you'll get Jesus in the middle of your church, if you'll get Jesus in the middle of that marriage, my God, if you get Jesus in the middle of that brokenness, ladies and gentlemen, the iron did swim. God will do a miracle in your life. Now I pull up verse 7 because I gotta give you, I don't want to just preach something and not give you something to chew on. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it.
Now leave that upper. Ron, the iron swam. Now God said, through the man of God, take it up. Reach out your hand and pick it up. Watch this, Brother Philip. Seize the opportunity. Woo! Seize the opportunity. Well, Brother Derek, I've lost something. It's been a long time since we felt the Holy Ghost at our church. Well, God's going to make the iron swim tonight, baby. And you need to reach out by faith and take it back. God's got an anointing inside of you He wants to use in this late day hour. But you got to seize the opportunity. Who am I preaching to? Whether you're a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, get out and reach out and take it by faith and use the power of God. Seize the opportunity. Now you say, Derek Stinnett, do you really believe we in the church have lost some things? I've never seen a day like today. I remember when I was a boy. I won't do a lot of reminiscing because I gotta give the altar call. Brother Phil, when I was a boy. I was raised at the Parish Free Will Baptist Church. My daddy was a deacon. Let me explain all that to y'all. That meant I had a key. And I could go in the building. When I was a snotty-nosed little boy, God called me to preach. And I went in that building, Tommy, and I decided to do a 3-day fast and stay in that church. Now, could I tell you some stories about staying in? Do you realize there are noises in the church? Amen. That if you ain't got faith, you won't hang out there very long. I could write a book. I'm not going to. I was in that church. Brother John, I made me a cot up there on the stage. Fasted 3 days. Asked God to put His touch on me. I said, God, I've been up here fumble bumbling around. And I said, God, I need your help. I said, God, they tell me, they ask me, when am I going to start preaching? And I said, God, I'm doing my best. I said, but God, I don't know anything and I can't do it. I need your help. I had a young girl in my home tonight and she's a friend of Ashland. They start quitting. You know, everybody thinks you got to do this route, that route. Let me go ahead and give you some help. I don't care how God uses you or how, listen, God can use anybody. And I prayed and I said, God, I want your power. And I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, if there ever was a day we needed His power, we're in that day. We need His power. And we need it in our song service. We need it in the preaching hour. And we need it in the altar call. We need His power.